Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nuremberg, and today we're diving into episode number 27, which we've entitled Overcoming Spiritual Apathy. Now, before we recorded, we were reflecting a little bit on that people experience burnout.
Right.
And it can come in so many different forms and from different aspects and areas of your life. Like, I can think of people can experience burnout from their job, or maybe a tough circumstance where they're sick.
Right.
There's lots of different burnout scenarios. That burnout can also lead to depression. We talked about that. And when we think about burnout, though, it can often lead to frustration in our spiritual lives.
Right.
Because we feel maybe disconnected from the Lord, or maybe we have no motivation to attend church or do the things that are important to our faith. And so when we're talking about spiritual apathy in this area of burnout, I guess my first question to you is, a person who's struggling maybe with burnout, how do they, what are like some of the first like big signs that like, maybe you need to take some rest?
Okay, I think they come similar to the depression issues.
Yeah.
All right. Lack of motivation. Mm-hmm. Lack of desire to, lack of control of their own mm-hmm. conduct. I mean, but probably it's mostly just a failure to have the motivation to do what they have to do. They're going through it, but they're doing what they are required to do. This is the way I understand burnout. Mm-hmm. This is when you're going through what you have to do, but your care, your desire, your enthusiasm drops mm-hmm. way off. So that would be the direction that I would be thinking with regards to burnout.
Like motivational?
It's mostly motivational.
Yeah.
That I lose my drive and my joy in doing it. Let's say my satisfaction in doing things. Mm-hmm. So that if I'm teaching and I come to a place of burnout, then I love teaching, but in another sense, at that point, you don't feel the same desire. You want to do it. You know you have to do it. And you start moving from the realm of desire to do it to the realm of you're going to fulfill your duty. Mm-hmm. There is a time when you have to fulfill your duty. I admit that. But you can gives a person reason to be alerted and concerned about where they're at.
Yeah, because I feel like in our health, like there's certain markers that people like, you know, make sure your blood work is right or like your heart rate, all these different things. And then like, but mentally and both spiritually, we have to also have those like guidepost markers that like, okay, my motivation, my enthusiasm, not that the we
concentration
always have to be,
too. Yeah, that's another one. Concentration's a big one.
Hmm. You know, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. You get to a place where, okay, like you say, I'm studying to prepare for something, and you're reading, and you just all of a sudden you're conscious that you just went over the page. Hmm. Then you have to go back over the page because your brain just isn't focusing. Now, it's not because it's different than being drawn out because you got something else you really want to do or something like that, but it's just, it just doesn't come. It doesn't, it makes it very difficult in teaching because if you're trying to teach and your concentration is going in and out, that's difficult.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real problem in our day.
Yeah. Not everybody is going to experience it in the realm of teaching because most of us aren't teachers, but people, I think, experience burnout a lot and they, in all the different realms of life that they occupy, like a mom with like multiple kids, that's hard.
And
so that phase of life that they're in, you can experience it there. You can experience it all over the map and from different areas. When I was reading that definition of burnout, it said like, it's often from one specific aspect of your life, not totally, but it can come from like your work or your family life or however it is.
Right.
But I think realizing motivation is a big one. Concentration is a big one. But they also said, like, burnout can lead to physical symptoms like headaches or stomach aches. Like, you just, your body is worn out.
Right. And that's just the natural outworking of the whole thing. It's one of the reasons why people that have burnout find it, like a mother that has burnout. Mm-hmm. She begins to have real difficulty handling her kids. Just dealing with them.
Yeah.
Because not because you don't love them, it's just too much energy. It takes too much energy.
Yeah.
It takes too much out of her. And most of us, God's put into us safety valves, physical safety valves that start to falter when you overload them. Just like on my hot water tank, there is, or my water tank in the house, there is a safety valve. If the pressure in that tank gets too high, it blows over this valve so that it doesn't blow up the whole tank and make a big mess. Most of us have some kind of physical things that start to happen, and it's just your body warning you that, okay, you pushed about as far as you can go.
And I think it's helpful to realize that one of the big things I think that we'll kind of hone in on in a little bit is like the importance of rest. And as a helpful benefit to overcoming burnout. But I think it's helpful to think of that. The scriptures speak a lot of rest and the importance of rest.
Right.
And I also thought of like the verse in, now I can't remember the passage, but anyways, but it's the verse that he sympathizes with, that Jesus sympathizes with us in all of our weaknesses. Hebrews 4. And he, and to think that, like last week we talked about that the Lord is, he's at the door, he's knocking, he wants to fellowship with us, but also that he sympathizes with us in our weakness, which includes all these physical aspects of our life, like burnout. And I think we'll jump into the scriptures and talk a little bit about like the Lord and how he, in his own ministry, there were moments that he had to withdraw. And I think that's helpful to realize that he sympathizes, but he also had to experience that himself as well. So do you want to?
Let's think a little bit of a, you know, just kind of a quick, you know, synopsis of the Word of God as far as the whole idea of burnout. And I think it's I'm going over this because I think it's the problem in our own day. All right. It's the biggest reason why people end up in a burnout situation. There are many different ways this can occur, so it doesn't cover everything. When the Lord set things up at the very beginning, there was a Sabbath, which he tells us in his own ministry. Man wasn't made to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was put there because men needed it. There's two ways that that Sabbath, just if you think about it, in the original situation, it occurs. One, every day, half of it is dark. That's the average on the face of the earth. Half of the time, it's dark. And if you don't have electric lighting, you have half of every day, which you have to pull back and stop, or at least slow down. You can't, it just wasn't available. Okay, so every day there was a work period, there was a stop period. Then at the end of the week, he puts this one day in which you stop. And it is interesting to me in the Word of God that the command concerning the Sabbath wasn't to worship. It was just to stop. It involved different things at different times. But the command is work for 6 days, and on the seventh day, rest. Just stop. And don't let anybody else work. All right, don't get foreign workers who work in your fields, because then you'll be out there working with them in your mind.
Yeah.
And the point of that was just stop and let your mind, again, well, he doesn't say that, but it just says stop. Okay. The Lord underscored that. And I think we've come to a place in the history, again, every culture, every history has its own particular problem, where life doesn't stop. We talked about that last week, that it doesn't stop at all. I can order socks at 3 o'clock in the morning if I want to. You know, if I'm awake, I can get there, and there's somebody on the other end of the phone. And you know, well, maybe not, but I don't know. I don't do it, but
You probably wouldn't phone it in your order for socks. No, but you could order it on Amazon.
Yeah, you can order it, and somebody's picking. You know, it's computer wise. Somebody is working to make that happen, because very often that thing you order in the middle of the night is, you know, it's on its way in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means that people are working. There's nighttime.
Yeah,
there was a time, and even when I was young, when night workers, there was a few, there were the factories where they had to keep it going, but most people's work, I mean, the plumbers went home, you know, and everybody else, they'd go home. You can only sell real estate at certain times. There's just, but now you can do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, but it's also a factor that you can communicate with people all of the time. And I'm afraid that one of the reasons why we have the difficulty, particularly in our day, of people just not being able to handle it, is that they're guilty. They feel guilty, and they're not guilty. They feel guilty because they feel as if they should be available all of the time. So turning off a cell phone or setting it aside, you know, if you call somebody and they don't answer, I mean, how many times you're, where were you?
Yeah.
I mean, where were you? Well, I wasn't at my phone, but unless I have some really great reason to be away from my phone, I don't, you know, I don't put myself.
The expectation, I think, in our society is that if you don't, you have to have a really good reason to not answer your phone.
Right.
Like, because if my phone, when I call you, then you are expected.
Right.
Like, if you're in a meeting, well, maybe that's good enough. But if you're just driving your car, you should answer that.
Yeah. Like, and when did you get out of the meeting?
Yeah.
You know, how long have you been out? Why don't I? But again, it's part of the cultural.
Yeah, it's a societal thing.
And we're in a problem because we haven't quite worked out etiquette on all this. Mm. Talking to students this morning, it's one of the things to me. It's when someone is on a cell phone and they're texting. Mm-hmm. Can I talk to them or not talk to them? Mm. You know, what is the appropriate time lapse? This hasn't been defined. Culture hasn't come up with rules. When you don't have rules about it, you can be pressed on, your conscience is pressed under, I'm failing.
Yeah.
So you have this, so that gives you a sense that you're constantly available to people. Mm. That doesn't give you much time in your heart to rest. It just pulls you out. So this is part. Now, again, there's lots of different reasons why we get in trouble. But I think that on the one side, it's the fact that we don't have prescribed times when we can, with a good conscience, stop and set everything aside. Because that was the idea. Yeah. Remember Mr. Johnson, when he went to Nepal, he said he loved it. He loved Nepal. He said that where he was in Nepal, he was there for 6 months. So it was, I think it was pretty close to 6 months. But anyway, he said, when the sun went down, so did I.
Yeah.
And I could sit there and think about things. There was nothing to do. There were no lights.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing I could do until the lights come on. So I could, with a clear conscience, not worry about whether I was grading papers or doing all the things that have to be done, which he could if he was back in the United States. He could have gone to his study and worked all night.
Yeah.
And people wouldn't have thought a thing about it.
And it's interesting because when I was in Africa, I was in Malawi, and the part of Malawi that we were on, there was like one, they called it the tarmac. It was one paved road in like the whole northern part of the country. And there was no electricity, no running water, none of that. And we were in this house, and at night they had this one little light from the solar panel, but we didn't spend that long there, maybe 3 weeks. But it was just incredible because the same thing, it was done. The day was done. Everybody went home in the morning. Everybody got up and like it was busy, and like there were people at the well and in the gardens, but at night everybody was up. And like, it was just a completely different cultural mindset, custom, than the U.S. And because I was thinking about it, and I was trying to find these numbers because, like, to me, they're amazing numbers, like not in a good way, negative way, but how long does a person spend on their phone a day? And let's see here. So the average American, this is just from Google, spends 4 hours and 37 minutes looking at their phone every single day. And so they spend about 6 full days every month and about 70 days every single year on their phone. It's a long time.
It is a long time.
It's like almost 3 months out of the year that they spend, that I spent. Like, I'm not, accusing anybody of it because it's so easy to. It's, and it's acceptable. It's a custom. And I think that is an interesting conversation to have on etiquette of cell phones and like how we use them and how we expect other people to use them because, I mean, they've only been around for, what, 20 years, maybe at most, like at least it's, in the way that they are. So, but I think that leads back to the conversation, which is that constant need for answering everybody.
Right. It
causes in your own heart not to have that rest, that stopping period.
You don't really have time to think. That's that to me is the big part of it. You don't have time to stop and think. And again, you get to 1800s. They didn't take up in much information, but they had lots of time to think about what life was about. How did it work? They could think about it because they didn't have so many facts to deal with it. See, it's like if, as we said last time, if I know what, how many people got killed today in the war in Israel, and how many drones they shot back and forth, that's too much information. When you start to add that up, and what's happening in France between these party, this party, and that party, what's going on in Saudi Arabia? How are the Iranians doing? how many missiles are the North Koreans shooting out across? You know, it's just all this information. You say, well, I just want to keep up with this. Or even we were just talking beforehand, the weather. Okay. Now when I look at the weather about tropical storms, they tell me what's going on in the Atlantic, which is important to me because, that could end up in the United States. But they also tell me about the ones that are happening in Asia or in the Pacific Ocean. They don't make any difference to me. But, again, that they say, oh, that's terrible. What about the people? I can't take in that much information. I can't handle that many things. And I think it's in trying to handle that. Now, that's, again, this is my opinion of the whole thing. It's in trying to handle it is what's happening. It's wrecking people's ability to live. Because you can't handle all these problems, but you can't quite get rid of them because you're obligated to know all of these facts and to keep up with what's happening in too many realms. And at the same time, you're obligated to do that. You're also trying to fulfill other obligations. And the multiple obligations get too tough. My son works in a job where a lot of young people are working there. They're having a real problem. They come to work, but they can't quite work. They can't stop this part, but they can't, in other words, they're still on the phone. But they're not working. And from a perspective, my perspective, you say, well, that's just a matter. Put the cell phone down. But they can't. They can't. And it's not just an addiction. It's a conscience issue. They've got to know. Their being is driven to know that. It's just a pressure of the day. Now, it's not to think about whether that's a good pressure, bad pressure, and whether they should be better or not. That's not the point. The point is, what are we going to do about it? You know, how are we going to live with that kind of pressure? And my thought is this, is I'm looking at the scripture. We don't get natural opportunities to rest, which means if we're going to have the rest, we have to have our brain rest. I'm talking about brain rest, not just physical rest. But brain rest, the ability to let the things that we have had come into our mind, the facts that come in, settle out, figure out which ones are important, how they fit together, what life's about, what counts and what. If we don't have that time, or it's not naturally given to us because we're pressed too far. So we have to take it. That's a big thing that we have to carve out those times deliberately where they we didn't have, I didn't have to do that when I was a kid, because I was still in that age where, hey, you went to bed and okay, you were asleep. Everybody was in bed. 10 o'clock. Everybody was in bed. Okay, and even it, you know, it's even. I remember growing up that Sunday, even this is in Pennsylvania, Sunday was still a kind of a day when you nobody worked. You couldn't go to the store when I was young.
Yeah.
The only stores, I don't know if any of them are open. Maybe pharmacies were open, but you couldn't open a store, which meant you couldn't go. Which meant you could think about something else. You had to think ahead. You could take his time. You can't do that now because everything is opened all the time and everything is ready. So if I'm going to relax my soul, if I'm going to have that rest, it's because I'm going to take that rest. And that's where I have to. I think there's two areas where it comes up primarily. One, I think everybody has to take time once a day. I think if you're serious about following the Lord and you want to avoid just letting it all whirl over, you have to take some time a day where you stop and put everything aside just for even for a short period of time to just let your soul think and pray. Yeah. And then you're going to have to take longer times too. I just think that you have to somehow figure out a way to take time. And again, we live in a day in which even churches tend to end up in a rush to where it's not really a chance to rest. You're going to study the Word of God and all the rest of it, but it's still hard to stop and rest. And this rest is not just a diversion rest. Okay, it's not a rest of I will go and play tennis instead of working. It's got to be a rest of the mind where it has a chance to let what really matters filter into my soul and sort that out. That's what I think.
That's really good. There's a quote and it says, we are in a crisis of meaninglessness, because he was talking about trivial problems. And he says, and we exasperate it by being less reflective and more reactive.
Right.
And his opinion, this author, was that give yourself the time and space to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, from Ephesians 4, 23. And that's exactly what you're saying, is that our souls cannot handle the weight of all of the situations that encompass the world and the people of the world, because there's too many and we can't bear it. And I think at the same time, knowing that that we serve a God who can bear it, and he knows, and he is intimately involved in that, can allow us to let go of these things, because he's in control. He's the one who, he knows the need of that person, you know, on the other side of the world that I don't know about, who's facing that, you know, hurricane.
Right.
He knows, and he is caring about those people. But at the same time, he is also caring about my needs and what I'm facing today.
Right.
And he's ready to meet us today in what we're facing. And so renewing our minds every day in the spirit to face the challenges. And I think by doing that, we can help combat burnout. And also I think that we can be better at serving other people, because we are called to love, and we're called to be involved in our church, and we're called to be involved in our family. And if we are not renewing our mind daily, there's no capability for us to give to other people. And I think, like I said briefly, I think we saw that example in the life of Lord Jesus here on this earth, because he had so much facing him. Amen. When he did his 3 years of ministry, and he took that time away constantly to meet with his Father, and he taught his disciples to do that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that goes back to, I think, if you look at what we were talking about last week, that verse, Lord's at the door to knock. I mean, and again, although that is used primarily in Christian church has an evangelistic verse, it's not evangelistic at all. It's spoken about the church who's ignoring the one who is their Lord. They're just not letting him be to them what he wants. So the Lord didn't let that happen with regards to his father. Mm-hmm. He was under a lot of stress. There was a lot of work, and he did work. This isn't the opposite of work. This isn't, we don't do this 24 hours a day, but we have to have a time to stop. 6 days you work, one day you love. That was the idea that we can, if we're going to be able to work, we have to be, take time to rest. And the Lord did it. Mm-hmm. He did it purposefully. Because he was surrounded. He couldn't do it naturally, in a sense, because he was surrounded by people pressuring him. Mm-hmm. They were hurting. Those are people. They were sick. They had demonized children. They had all kinds of problems. So they had to get to him. They just felt they needed to be. So his life was not naturally, doesn't have that rhythm naturally, mm-hmm. but he made sure it happened. Mm-hmm. And what he did was he went along with his father. And I think what we were thinking about last week about the Lord being right there, the times should be times in which we, whether it's through reading the word or through prayer, we're stopping to get along with the Lord who's knocking and just mm-hmm. be with him mm-hmm. so that we can put the burden on him. Mm-hmm. We can get direction from him that soothes our conscience and enables to make right value judgments. That's my fear yeah. with all the input and all the conscience problem with, again, there's no cultural rules about all these things. So you can just pile up guilt and guilt and guilt. And as you said, then we end up in a place, as a man said, we're responding to trivia. Mm-hmm. The things yeah. the things that we're concerned about aren't really important at all. Mm-hmm. And things which are deeply important don't even cross our mind because we never get to them. Mm-hmm. We're all the time fighting with little things. So I think that withdrawal is, and the Lord did it. He took, mm-hmm. he did what had to be done. He had to get up early. He went out. It seems he was on a pretty regular basis. And most of the time it appears, the stories we have, it appears that the Lord went by himself. This was not, he didn't take his disciples mm-hmm. to these prayer times. He went there primarily by himself to be with his father and just be quiet. Mm-hmm. We're told that he spent an entire night praying before he chose the 12 disciples. Well, how much can you pray about? I mean, yeah. that's I think. But he's just with his father. He just wants to be there. And he knows that in that fellowship, out of that fellowship, will come right decisions about who would be the ones that he wants to choose.
Mm. I think that's, and there's that verse in, I can't remember. Anyways, on one of the Gospels. And it, but he says that Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. But right. in response to it, it's that, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Right.
And but to realize that, yes, the Lord, his invitation to all of us is that you find rest ultimately right. in me. You Amen. Like, and so the burdens that we carry in our heart, which naturally we should take time to
right.
have Sabbath in our life, however right. that looks. But ultimately, Jesus is inviting us to walk in life with him.
Right.
And when I think when we do that, we are able to begin to take that time to rest so that ultimately doesn't lead to burnout.
No.
And I just think of like the people who don't have the Lord in their lives, like how do they, I mean, they go to, the world pushes all kinds of like nice things that they want you to do to achieve peace and tranquility right. and rest and all of these things like goat yoga and all kinds of like right. weird things like, and fine if you want to do it, but ultimately, that doesn't cure the need in our heart
no.
for ultimate rest.
Right.
And I think it's just incredible that the Lord, in their own world, which is different culturally than ours, but in ours as well, the invitation is that rest ultimately comes from the Lord.
Right. And that would separate us. And then, again, I think that when you get to all the yoga type of thing, they come because people are also realizing mm-hmm. that they can only take so much in.
Yeah.
So it's a secular, a non-Christian way of trying to handle it. Mm-hmm. But we have a much better way. We can not only take the time to put other things aside, but we can do that with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then we can let him set the standards for us. And I think that's a big part of it. A lot of this, I think, comes because we got a guilty conscience. We're just not sure what we're supposed to be. Mm. We live in a world where the standards have all dropped. Therefore, we don't know what we're supposed to be. We don't know whether we did it right or didn't do it right. Yeah. It's just because everybody wants to do it a different way. When the Lord becomes one who you're walking with, then, because that's the second part of it, you know, coming to me, if you're laboring heavily, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Let me direct the show. Come on, dude. Let me control what's going on. If you let me control what's going on, your conscience is cleared because you're letting him do it. Now, if he's happy with it, you can rest. And then you find rest, he says, to your soul. Mm. It's real important when in our day.
It's huge that we learn. And it is a practice. Like, you have to, it is a, right. Because we have been trained, and I think that's the other thing that we need to realize, is that we've been trained to follow as the culture does. Right. And some things, they're not necessarily wrong. Like, right, it's not wrong to answer your phone. It's not, you're not sinning to answer your phone or text or whatever. But we also have to know who we are and how we were created, and we were created for rest. And taking that time, and I think when we, as you said, take that time daily, but then also set aside however it looks in our life to rest in our minds, then and fill our minds with, as the person said, renew our minds in the Spirit of the Lord. And so when we do that, we're able to combat so many of the things that overwhelm our hearts because we can't ultimately control all of it. So do you have any other thoughts? Or
I think that would, that sort of sums it up, because the we're just not made to go that long. Yeah. I do remember it was this man named Swenson who wrote a book, Margins. It was in the 80s when they were having a problem again of just people trying to do way too much. And they made that study and they found that if you can measure efficiency of work, a man reaches his maximum sufficient, their maximum capacity at 50 hours a week. That's all it is. After that, if you can measure it, the output starts to drop off to the point where if he works 50 hours a week on a regular basis, that's the max for the average person. That's the maximum output to be efficient. Otherwise, the mistakes you make and the slowing down because your brain is tired overwhelms you. So, and he, it's because of that, that he started restructuring his life. He was a doctor, restructuring his life. And found out indeed, that's the way it was. Now, it's not just a matter of this is how much we can't work more than that, but it's a matter of we have to come to the place where, and that actually is pretty close to what would work out if you had to sleep at night and you had to eat and you only work 6 days a week. You probably wouldn't come out to much more than 50 hours a week, maybe a few more, but it's around there. It's at that point that we're then efficient and capable. We have full control so we can be to people around us what we need to be. But it's not just getting the rest. It's getting the rest, I think, by being quiet with the Lord in day-by-day experience and then in special periods.
Yeah, that's really encouraging. And I hope that it encouraged the people that listen as well, because this is something that we all have to practice and we all have to implement into our life. Otherwise, we can just so quickly experience burnout. So as always, you can listen to all of the rest of our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and follow us across all of our social channels. And until next week, we will see you then, and may the Lord bless you.